Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All righty. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. We made it. We are back with the second guest of the year. Very excited to have Samela on the show. Samela, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So, all right, for those of you tuning in, you're like, what the heck is this thing? What the heck is Unicorn Finders? So, Dan and Jake started this show almost four years ago. I was telling Samela this backstage, and this was an excuse for me, Dan, and Jake to hang out. We've pivoted over the years. We're going to talk about pivoting today, a little foreshadowing for Samela. But we've pivoted a little bit, and what we've done over the last year and a half or so is we've really focused on startups doing really cool things that you probably haven't heard of yet. And so this is another one I'm really excited. Samela's been in my circle now for 2 years, 3 years, something like that. So very, very excited to get on the show today to talk about her endeavor. But for those of you who are tuning in, welcome. Say hey, throw up a comment. It'll be great to see you. Alex, it's great to see you as well. But Samela, let's go ahead and kick it off, girl. Who are you? And let's just start to dive in the block.
Absolutely. So, as you said before, I am Samela. I'm born and raised in Chicago, lived in Miami for 11 years, and then now making my transition to New York. And I know, right? Like the Big Apple. My friends are already like, so it's LA next. I'm like, can we just pause for a second? Let's stay focused here.
So now out here doing a world tour.
Right. I'm like, wait, just give me a second. But this is my second startup, actually. My first company was Sebeya, and we were helping everyday mom and pop hotels offer a better guest experience. We were giving them a white label app, and then they can just kind of upsell, make ancillary revenue, and just make better guest experience. But I guess pivoting is my thing now that I'm saying that out loud. But we noticed a massive opportunity where the hosts at the time were looking to kind of grow their business and grow their portfolio, but they were having difficulty purchasing property. And so the light bulb went off in my head, and it was like, well, rental arbitrage is a thing. Let's help them rent apartments, offer a done-for-you service. So we made it fully turnkey. And then we did that business. And now our conversation is around another pivot. It's following the signals.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. Yeah. Block. Just go ahead and dive in. Yeah. What is it? What problem are you trying to solve?
So right now, as we take a look at all of the things that's happening in the world, right, around short-term rentals, around, affordability and people being wanting to do more, but they're not having the resources to do it. My team and I thought it would be an amazing opportunity to make the transition along with the move to help to launch a members only home exchange marketplace. And we're going to focus exclusively on the BIPOC community. And ideally our members will be able to travel more, save money, experience life in a trusted network of other travel lovers and enthusiasts.
I love that. Samela, hey Dan, real quick, what's up with the beads? Yeah. What's up with the beads? We've already had a few comments. I forgot my invite.
Gasparilla, and then Samela, we'll get back to you. Gasparilla is a big made-up festival in Tampa about the mythical founding of Tampa by a group of pirates, from like the 1600s. So it's like a little mix of Mardi Gras. That's like pirate theme. They're expecting 500,000 people on the parade route this year. So second or third largest parade in America behind, I think, Mardi Gras and the Rose Parade. So that's what the beads are for. It's that time of year.
I love it.
Tampa celebrates a fake holiday. So Samela, going back to this story, home exchange, it's been around for a long time. It's kind of become, I feel like not as much of a part of the conversation as Airbnb has become, a much bigger part of our lexicon. But talk to us a little bit more about home exchange, about what it is for those that may not know or be aware of it.
Absolutely. So how I'm seeing it is Airbnb allowed people to make revenue, right? And that's why mm-hmm. it did so well. That's why it is still doing well. People were needing ways to sustain their lifestyles. The economy's going up, everything's expensive. And so, but now that the cities are jumping in and saying, hey, Airbnb, you're taking away housing, you're taking away, access to quality living, we decided that, home exchange is going to be a happy medium. Home exchange at its core is essentially allowing you to have lodging in different places without the cost of lodging, right? And so most people are like, well, what about the profit? The truth is, we all know that an experience is way more valuable than the profit, right? A profit is mm-hmm. absolutely important, but imagine being able to travel to Italy, Africa, New York, right? And not having to pay for your lodging costs. That's like, that's affordability at its finest, right? And then being able to make that accessible to a community of people who are oftentimes marginalized for most mm-hmm. often, unfortunately. Sure. But as specifically with the lens of like a founder, right? Me being a founder, I need to travel more. I need to go to these meetings, but I also am having fundraising, right? Like, so if I can travel to these meetings by being a member of Block without having to pay those lodging costs, that can allow me to go to this meeting, experience more, and still be able to, do things that a founder should
right.
be able
to. That's true. So would you say, but obviously it's for the entire, community focus, but would you say you're kind of selling this more towards founders and businessmen and women who, are trying to bootstrap it together?
Yes. My lens is specifically focused exactly on what you said. And that's where the beauty comes in, because most of the time people were originally thinking of Airbnb as a leisure thing. Where I'm sitting, we're thinking of a bleisure thing, right? Like, so you're probably traveling
for business. I love that, bleisure.
Right, like, so you're probably traveling for business, but you get to enjoy that aspect. Or your job, you're a remote worker, and you're mm-hmm. still doing the work, but you might just want to do it from a beach in Tulum this time, right? Or a busy penthouse in New York, right? And so our focus is absolutely people who have to travel with or without Block. But now they're more aware of how can I do this and also save so that I can experience other great things in my lifestyle.
There's a comment here from Valerie. Home exchange is how my parents were able to afford to take our family to Europe for the first time as a teenager. We had an amazing time connecting with the family with whom we swapped houses. It was an enriching experience on so many levels.
When I think about it, oftentimes I kind of get lost in the thought, because the impact of it is going to be so much more important. And I get to scale a business at the same time because people are going to travel more. As she just said, yes, thank you. That was a great moment.
I love that. I love that.
So Samela, as somebody that's never done home exchange, outside of just this platform, just the idea of it sounds so enriching, and kind of coupling with what Valerie said there, how does it work? So if I'm a member of Block and I need to go to Houston or Dallas for work, am I usually getting the whole home? Am I getting, could there be somebody else there as well, kind of getting a room, or how does it work? Is there options? Talk to me a little bit about home exchange, because I think of getting the whole kit and caboodle. Yes. So talk to me a little bit about that.
So the way that we see it is, and because we're still making the pivot, sure. I love this question, but the way that we're seeing it is the person whose home that you're staying in is probably also traveling somewhere else. So now gotcha. You have access okay. to the entire home, right? And it may be a one bedroom apartment because that person sure. is also a digital nomad and they are a traveler and they're not spending a lot on their housing, right? So you might get a one bedroom, but now that's enough in the area that you want to be in to get to whatever your point of being in town is for. And it does not have to be a reciprocal exchange, gotcha. Right?
Okay.
So you don't have to stay at my home because I'm staying at your home. Right. But you can stay at Taylor's home while I stay at your home, right? And so it can just, and that's the point of being members, because once you are a member, it's a little bit more regulated. There's a little bit more accountability. There's more trust involved. And then now you have a point system and you can just kind of travel wherever you need to be.
This is great. Comment. I know I just threw it up. I'll throw it up again from Alex. Home exchange sounds like it's a lot of potential to build mutual aid networks too. The networking sounds awesome with this.
The networking is going to be, and we're going to host like block parties, you know.
There you go. I love that. Like love
block
that.
Parties. And that's where I keep like dreaming in the impact of what it's going to unlock on the other side. Networking is absolutely one of them.
Samela, I do have a question because I am not a person, and this sounds fun. Could I get involved?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. It's for everyone, right? Because yeah. my background is hospitality and tourism. I opened up some of the most amazing hotels, but the lens of BIPOC community is important to speak on because a cultural sense of belonging, right? We hear the horror stories. I went to my short-term rental and they canceled my reservation or this or that, right? So it's a sense of belonging of like-minded people, right? And so the BIPOC is just for emphasis, but if you understand that all people are amazing, and you want yes. to treat people like yes. people, you are more than welcome to the barbecue.
I will bring something to the barbecue. I don't know.
Right. Like bring, exactly. And you know, something. Because in yeah. the mind shift that has to go behind, the mind shift that has to go behind that is people are people. We all bleed the same blood. 100%. We're all going through something in life. Let's just relax and let's interact from a person to person standpoint. And so that's why we're like focused on doing that.
What I love about it, sorry to interrupt, Samela. What I love about it is Airbnb was originally created for this idea of like almost like couch surfing. That used to be a phrase that we used a lot, right? And so it was kind of born out of the idea of like, hey, you're going to a conference or you're going to this place for a few days and here's a room that you can stay in. And then it got so bastardized by usually like private equity and venture capital to say, hey, we're just going to go buy homes. And now we're seeing homeowners associations, condo associations really start to clamp down on how long you have to live there before you can do a long-term rental, limiting the number of short-term rentals at any one particular time. It seems to me like it's Airbnb has now become even more expensive than hotels. And there's all these memes about, you know, it's more expensive to stay there and I have to do my own dishes. I have to take out the trash and do all this other stuff. To me, it seems like this kind of solves the problem that like Airbnb was trying to do of saying, hey, I need to be someplace for a short period of time. I would like to get a more residential probably experience than just being this kind of transactional hotel experience. And it seems like that it solves that issue. With that being said, with home exchange and things of that nature, are there any sort of legal from a homeowners associations or some of these rules that cities and states are putting into place when it comes to short-term rentals to be able to allow this? Or does this, because of the way that it is just a home exchange, not really apply to those rules and regulation crackdowns?
So I love that you asked me that, because that's one of the reasons why I feel like we have the opportunity to be a culture shifting unicorn, because It's almost the idea of your cousin, your aunt, your nephew is staying at your place, right? And so because we are not exchanging money at all, we're simply exchanging experiences. We don't fall under the short-term rental. We're not renting anything, right? Our members are simply saying, I'm happy to, it's almost like when you travel, when you go to school abroad and then you staying in someone's home, a host home, right? It's very similar to that. And the beautiful thing about that is because your home is also listed on the platform, there's a level of accountability because you can, people can pay whatever because money is not their problem, but can people be accountable? Can you also do what you, if you don't want somebody to do it at your home, you, chances are you're probably not going to do it at theirs.
This is a great comment from Brandon here. I know very little of this service. It's so cool to hear you talk about it, and you've created such a unique experience, such a networking opportunity for so many. Love that. Love that. Let's see here. Samela, so what's next as we wrap up here? What's on the horizon for Block? What are you looking for? How can we help? What introductions do you need? Talk about that.
So because we are in our customer discovery, I absolutely feel like we have something here. And I believe that it's going to require a sense of awareness, right? We will absolutely fundraise when the timing is right. I believe sooner than later for sure. And because this is not my first rodeo, I believe that we will be successful even with all of the things that's happening because we are addressing that core affordability and accessibility component. But as we look ahead, we're really excited about just telling people what we have going on, building our membership, building the team, because I'm going to need a strong and exciting team to do this. And then our reach, right? We can go to Africa. We can go to Italy. We can go to Greece, right? Like there is no place that we cannot list as a home to exchange. So spreading the word and us having this conversation is amazing. It was a great starting point. And I just want to get loud. I'm going to get louder about it.
Samela, what is, sorry, my last question is this, you know, we often talk about, you know, when we have product and marketplace companies on this show, we sometimes talk about a chicken or the egg problem. Is it for you guys, as you grow, as you guys add more members, what does customer acquisition look like? Because obviously people are going to join if there's a lot of opportunities for them to be able to travel and look to see where else they can go. What does customer acquisition look like for you in terms of getting that customer and marketing your platform in an age where I think that there's a huge opportunity for you guys?
So the exciting part is we can scale as fast as we bring on members, right? Because one member can sign up and now we have a home in those around the world. So it's not as much of a chicken and egg. It's more so managing the types of members because we will have a swapper who has a home, but we will have a stayer who's a digital nomad, right? So making sure that we have the perfect balance between homes on platform versus members who's accessing those homes. But as we think about our customer, like our go-to-market in acquiring our customers, we, of course, are going to partner with people who've already done a great job at building networks and communities of those type of travelers and remote employees that we feel would be a great match. And then from there, we will help them spread the word with referral programs. And then the unfortunate and fortunate part is because short-term rental is taking such a hit, we can, of course, be that healthy alternative to still be able to access short stays without the heavy regulations.
Yeah. I love the idea. I think that there's a corporate way to probably get involved too. I don't know how necessarily because they won't be able to provide the house, but I'm sure that there's going to be an opportunity kind of in that digital nomad situation where you said that they may not have a house. But, you know, I think of a lot of companies that travel people in for a few days and the idea of staying in a home compared to just a stuffy hotel room sounds a lot more appealing to me. But I think it's going to be a really cool platform for you guys, and I'm super excited to watch you guys grow.
I'm excited. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Samela, where can people find you on the internet? How can people reach out to you?
Yes. So I am Samela Block on all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok occasionally. Samela Block, B-L-C-K. So there is no O in it. And I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys so much for sharing your with me. And we're going to work to be that unicorn status.
Love it. I love it. Well, Samela, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And you have a great rest of your Thursday, okay?
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Man, I listen, you know, I'm even thinking about it. Like, so Gunn, we're trying to plan like a first all get together for the company. And, you know, we don't have the money to go out and spend a bunch of money and get people in like to Nashville.
Yeah.
Very few companies do. I mean, they get moved out because it's so expensive, right? I think my big thing is if Samela can make like I don't know. I think personally, I think there's a huge like personal travel on this, but I think the startups and business side of things could be huge here.
Yeah. I mean, I think of, obviously there's a lot of corporate travel, but there's so much of it that gets missed that is individuals traveling, individuals pitching, individual consultants that it can be very, very expensive. I mean, if you were to fly to Nashville, you know, flights from, let's just say Tampa to Nashville are at least $300 or $400 to stay in a hotel room, even remotely close to downtown. You're looking at least $300 plus a night, like for a generic room. So if you go there for a week, you're looking at $1,500, you're looking at nearly $2,000 just for the week, just to go to Nashville. And even, it can be cumbersome for a lot, right? And, you know, I know so many businesses travel and have these huge expense budgets and you can stay wherever you want and everything else, but there's such a huge swath of people that doesn't apply to or it's completely unaffordable. And, you know, just because you're in a job that requires travel or you're in a job that requires consulting doesn't mean that you're pulling in $500,000, $700,000 a year, right? There's a ton of them that are scraping by, you know, week by week, and where something like this could be fantastic, or the ability to be immersed, you know, in a particular living experience. And I know Valerie mentioned from a family experience and be able to travel with kids and this idea that somebody's home has everything that you might need. It seems to me like a fascinating idea. And like I said at the beginning, I think this is what Airbnb kind of like was supposed to be at the beginning. And then like everything, right? You know, you get private equity involved and then all of a sudden Blackstone owns 30% of the houses in a neighborhood, right? So
I
love the idea. I love that it's affordable, right? I mean, we're not going to talk pricing here because we talked about it before, but the pricing that she was offering seemed very affordable. Right. Even if you used it one time a year for a week, you've already saved money.
You've already. Thomas, I love this. What are some edge cases you think you'll run into? Like what problems or hurdles? I think with me, especially in today's world, I think it's marketing. Like it's stuff like this, like you need hell amount of testimonials. You probably, in my opinion, need to start with like go really deep with one city, whether it's in New York or Miami with Samela's connections, and try to just test it out there. In terms of hurdles, I don't know. Like, are people in New York going to, one, have the space to even do this, right? Or Miami, right? Does this make sense more maybe than Nashville, right, where I have a 2,000 to 3,000 square foot house with a downstairs basement that I could do this? You can't get that in Miami or New York. So I think that's going to be an interesting
problem. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just going to be customer acquisition, getting enough properties, right? Because there's going to be people that live in, no offense to any of these cities that I'm just going to name, right?
No,
but
for sure.
If you live and are willing to put up your home and you live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and there may be a lot more travel to your major metropolitan areas, right? So you need a large amount of homes in those more heavily traveled areas, right? So it's being able to have enough, I think inventory is going to be the thing. And then I think also it's going to be the person that you finding enough people that are willing to give more than to take more at times, yeah. Because you're going to have more super users, right? You're going to have those that use it every month, and then you're going to have those that use it once a year. So it's being able to balance and have enough inventory in those places where people think of that first and not say, hey, I've been trying to go to Miami. I go to Miami for 5 days a month, every month. And every time I log on, there's not, you know, a place to stay. So that's going to be something that I think that they, it's just going to take time, take marketing, like you said, acquire. And then it's going to just have to be, and obviously they're paying a quarterly subscription, but it's just going to be have to kind of the rewiring of the brain to say, hey, I want to go do this first and not.
Yeah. Not go to Airbnb or
not go to a hotel or not go to an Airbnb. Yeah. Right. I know it's a home exchange. I don't know what homeowners association rules are. I know condos have cracked down on people kind of coming in and out and who you're allowed to have stay in your home. And again, I know it's a home exchange and I know we're treating it like a cousin, a brother, a family member. But if you have somebody coming in 7 days a month, every month, you know, does somebody start to crack down on that? And I don't know enough about that. But yeah. But those are some things. Yeah, but it seems like Simela has obviously figured a lot of that out and knows a hell of a lot more than you and I do.
You know, yeah, for real. I do think there is an appetite for this because all the ongoing jokes of Airbnb about having, you know, you have basically have to clean the house and do the trash right. And do the dishwasher before you leave. I think people are tired of, and then also just how expensive it is as well. I forgot what I was saying.
I think Airbnb is getting to the point where obviously it's yes. still making a crap ton of money,
sure.
but
sure.
I think Airbnb has kind of become like more of a joke than anything, right? Like Airbnbs usually aren't cheaper. Usually they're more expensive. You can look at fantastic real estate photos, but what am I actually getting when I walk in to a point where we used to seek out Airbnbs when we travel. Now we don't, right? We don't even look at the mm-hmm. platform unless we're hosting a large group of people. So I think that there's a huge opportunity. I think it's the idea of opening your home to somebody that you're not being compensated for. And there is a kind of a feel good switch that has to turn on somebody's mind or kind of this, you know, you give, I give mentality that, you know, can is not necessary for everybody. But I do right. think that there's enough opportunity out there for her and for Block. And I love the community that she's trying to serve. And, you know, I certainly wish her nothing but a huge success.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
Taylor, how are you doing? You've been stuck in your home. We always talk about the weather in Tampa. It's beautiful right now. It's in the high 70s.
Not beautiful here.
Sun's out.
Not beautiful here.
You didn't leave your
Farm 9 days.
For 9 days.
So, basically Friday I got out. I got my hair done.
Looks great.
As one does on Friday. I appreciate it. And then Saturday, Sunday, there's no reason for me to leave. And then Monday, we got 6 inches of snow, which proceeded to stay around for 7 days. I was talking to Jackie. I was talking to my parents. Like, none of us remember or recall growing up in the South and having snow stick for 7 days afterwards. So yeah. We're back. Now it's nasty and rainy. And I'm like, I just need some normal sunny weather. For a second.
Yeah, no, don't blame me. I saw that you guys got in one day of snow what you guys normally get in a year. So
correct.
And I have a lot of friends up in Nashville, listening to a couple podcasts that are based out of Nashville and just kind of the horror stories of people trying to leave or try to get things from the grocery store, because I don't think anybody expected this, right? I mean, I know that they expected snow, but I don't know.
Yeah.
A week.
Well, the original weather pattern was just 2 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
The perfect amount.
Perfect amount, man. Still hasn't snowed here since the 70s. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Snow in Tampa is wild. What type of system is that?
I don't know, but there's a really cool photo of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium where the Gators play
covering
snow, which is really, really cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
But yeah, so all right, brother. Well, we'll see you next week, same time.
Yep, we'll see you next week. Yep.
All right, thanks, everybody, for watching. Great questions.